This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good.
Plenty to talk about today. It's been another one of those roller coaster weeks. But firstly, I wanted to ask you about the price of gold, which has today, for the first time, hit the $3,000 per ounce mark. So quite a big moment in the history of gold. The precious metal surging once again amid all this economic uncertainty and the impact of a global trade war. It's not a big surprise, is it really? Gold is seen as a safe asset for investors and is often sought after in times of economic instability. So this big mark that it's made today, not unexpected.
Yeah, no, it's been a huge period of gains for gold here recently. Actually, we just a few, you know, at the end of the year, we were right around $2,600 an ounce on spot price. And you can see, like you said, hit 3,000 briefly here this morning. We've given back a little bit of it. But I mean, again, just a massive, you know, run up on the price of gold. And you listed some of the good reasons for why that makes a lot of sense. A lot of people are uncertain about the state of not just the U.S. economy, but the global economy and the shifts that are taking place with the Trump tariffs that we see going into place in recent times. At the same time, you know, you have continued central bank buying. China reiterated that they're back on the buying train. And not to mention, with the tariff situation, a lot of gold imports have been rushed across the border in recent months, actually coming from where you are, Johnny, from the Bank of England, a lot of gold transactions and purchases. So very interesting time specific to the gold market. But if we kind of take a bigger picture too, it's also the weakness in the dollar that we've seen. We've seen, you know, a lot of stuff pointing towards a weaker dollar here recently. Some of the unbeatable economic prints that we've had in recent times from the U.S. economy have started to slow down and showing they're not completely impervious to the effects of a slowing consumer, rising prices, and perhaps some shifting geopolitical situations across the globe.
Indeed. And there are many traders out there who are suggesting that the momentum, the upward momentum for gold, is not yet exhausted, and the price per ounce could rise further. I mean, since we last spoke on Wednesday, we've seen more tariff trouble. US President Donald Trump threatening a 200% tariff on any alcohol coming to the US from the European Union. And that was in response to the EU's plans for a 50% tax on imports of US produced whiskey. So obviously the tariffs are a big part of this uncertainty and the flip-flopping that we see from one extreme to the other on an almost daily basis. People out there are probably thinking that gold is the safest bet at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you bring that up. What that plays into is this recent thought that maybe all of this tariff stuff was a bit of a negotiation tactic. And while it still might be, it seems like Trump is pretty serious. I mean, he was actually pressed by a reporter yesterday, and he did not back down at all. He said, you know, if anything, there was basically more room to be more aggressive on tariffs. So again, like I said, a lot of people kind of thinking that this was a negotiation tactic, art of the deal, you know, 101, but it actually seems like Trump is very serious about the tariffs and that they are set to move forward on that April 2nd, quickly approaching deadline for many of the reciprocal tariffs that we're expecting as well.
And even President Trump has admitted that these tariffs may cause some issues for the US economy going forward. We've got a situation here in the UK where even today, the Chancellor of the Exchequer here, Rachel Reeves, has almost blamed the lower GDP number that we've had here, which was unexpectedly showing that the UK economy shrank in January, which is a big blow to the government ahead of its spring statement later this month. Rachel Reeves has sort of suggested that one of the reasons is the global economic situation, which has been started in a way by the instability over tariffs. Just to go through those numbers here in the UK, Nick, the economy contracted by 0.1%, which was weaker than forecast, driven mainly by a decline in the manufacturing sector. Chancellor Reeves has said the government needs to go further and faster on the economy. Economists have predicted that it would rise by 0% in January. So this is a big blow. Going forward, I don't think it's going to get much better in the short term.
I mean, like you mentioned, the expectation here being 0.1% growth and coming in at minus 0.1, that is a stagflation concern. I mean, that's even more real in the UK than the headlines have been kind of saying in the US, when you have, you know, tangible inflation still there and meanwhile contraction in the economy. So definitely worrisome in that regard. You know, as we get closer to the Bank of England making a decision about interest rates, as well as the US, right? I mean, we also saw this morning, just to follow up on what we saw shortly after, the preliminary University of Michigan consumer sentiment this morning was rough for the outlook here. We actually saw forecasts of 63.1 consumers feeling a little bit worse in terms of sentiment, coming in actually at 57.9 and revising the previous number down from 67.8 down to 64.7. All that means basically is that the consumer is feeling a little bit more pressed than what economists and forecasters were thinking. So we also saw the preliminary University of Michigan inflation expectations up to 4.9% as well. So there's a lot of changes happening in the markets and the tariffs. You know, again, the administration obviously believes that there is some sort of short-term gain for long-term gain, but the market is wondering in the short term, just how much pain should we expect?
And also, since the last time we spoke, Nick, we've had the latest PPI numbers from where you are, and they were lower than expected.
Yes, the core PPI month over month was forecasted to be 0.3, came in at minus 0.1%. You know, inflation data cooling pretty much across the board here. We saw a cooler than expected consumer price index and producer price index this week. The unemployment claims came in just slightly better than expected at just 220,000 claims compared to 226,000 claims. In some ways, that's a good number, right? The lower inflation could help to appease the Fed and give them some more wiggle room if need be to cut interest rates this year. But very interesting to see that. One thing I wanted to also bring up, Johnny, is that if we looked at the stock market in its lonesome, right? Stock market has been very volatile for the US specifically, seeing big declines here recently. But the reason I wanted to bring that up is because the stock market is telling you that we're on the brink of some massive recession. That's what people are worried about. And maybe there's some rightful, you know, worries. But what the bond market is telling us, and this is something I wanted to bring up on the podcast today, is that the bond market, you know, has seen a decline in the 10-year yield, but it's not been nearly as dramatic as the stock market. And the bond market doesn't seem to be pricing in a high probability of a recession. Is there a drop in yields? Yes, there has been, but it's not been a dramatic one. If you go back and take a look, I've got it in on my screen. I would encourage listeners to do the same. If I go back here just quickly to the 2018 tariff, you know, fears that we saw, that 10-year yield looks like a recession fear. And that is a much more sharp decline in the 10-year yield, suggesting that the Fed would need to cut rates to save the day. But we don't see that behavior in the bond market. The reason I bring that up, Johnny, is because, again, the bond market is actually bigger than the stock market, and suggesting that maybe things are still okay for the time being, despite the headlines being very scary.
So let's look ahead to next week. I mentioned those UK GDP figures earlier, Nick, and of course we're going to have the latest from the Bank of England next Thursday in terms of whether there's going to be a rate cut or not. Perhaps this news this morning about UK GDP unexpectedly going down may persuade a few of the Monetary Policy Committee members to vote for a cut after all.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, next week is actually a pretty big central bank week, of course, as you mentioned, with the UK on Thursday. But we also have on Wednesday, we have the FOMC economic projections. That's your dot plot, your FOMC statement. I mean, it's a big week next week across the board. We also have the Bank of Japan policy rate on Tuesday, core retail sales on Monday. We have core retail sales for Canada as well. Bank of Canada, Governor Macklem speaks as well. So, and Bank of England, Governor Bailey on Thursday as well. Nothing short of a central bank highlight week that is next week, Johnny. It'll be a big one. We'll be busy.
We certainly will. Nick, have a great weekend. Look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.